of the 23rd Psalm. It begins with the words, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep?" Ezekiel is bringing an indictment to the shepherds of God's people from God, whom God has called to act as good shepherds because they have not acted in the sheep's best interest. Ezekiel accuses them of tending to their own needs over the needs of the sheep and neglecting their basic role. He says, quote, "You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." And because these shepherds have failed in these duties as shepherds of God's people, the sheep have been scattered, they've been eaten by wild beasts, and they're wandering lost. Indeed, at 34:10, we read, "I will reduce my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." And this brings us to our reading for today, which Matt read aloud just a few moments ago, beginning at 34:11. It is here that Ezekiel begins to share what the future hope of God's people looks like, when not only the bad shepherds, but the bad sheep are judged and the shepherd king rules. Did you catch that in the reading this morning? It wasn't just a matter of there being bad shepherds, but there's bad sheep within the flock that are harming the flock. It's easy for us to go after the bad leaders. The people probably liked that when Ezekiel went after the bad leaders, but how dare he go after the people? But Ezekiel clearly points out that there are bad sheep within the fold, and they're making life difficult for the good sheep and for the shepherds over them. I encourage you this morning, and as Presbyterians, this is hard to do, but I encourage you this morning to close your eyes and to take a deep breath and to activate your baptized Christian imaginations. Imagination? We're part of the Frozen Chosen. We don't do things like that. But this morning, please do so. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And I want you to hear this reinterpretation of Psalm 23, which Ezekiel brings before the people of God with an open heart and with hope before you. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. For I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." So, in the realm of this good shepherd, no sheep which belongs to the shepherd will be lost, hungry, or hurting. And there is this promise of justice. And justice is a difficult word today, Boy, we throw it around a lot, especially within political circles. There's a constant call in our nation for social justice, yet social justice is notoriously difficult to define. Where does it come from? Where does it find its root? Where is it anchored? Who decides what is just and what is not? Who decides who receives this kind of social justice, which is very much rooted in emotion? The justice which Ezekiel proclaims is coming from the Good Shepherd, and it is biblical justice. It is God's justice. It comes from the very nature and the holiness of God, and it is rooted in the good news. It is rooted in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not some form of political social justice. This is true, God-given, godly, Christ-centered gospel justice. If you want to truly see what justice looks like, I encourage you to look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For on the cross, Jesus paid the price that we could not possibly pay ourselves. Jesus carried and bore the weight that we could not possibly bear. And Jesus endured God's wrath, a wrath which would incinerate all of us. Jesus died that we may live. Ezekiel goes on, "And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken." Today is Christ the King Sunday, or it's also referred to as the reign of Christ the King. And if we want to celebrate this day, then we must do so by remembering the kind of king that Jesus is, but also the kind of king he adamantly and repeatedly refused to become. Jesus wanted nothing to do with power or glitz or glamour or privilege. He did not want a throne as much as a place. Seemingly any place would do, where he could simply be with the poor, the sick, the lonely, the misunderstood. When he was with these people, Jesus said things and did things that remade the entire world. He treated the outcast and the downtrodden with love and with a grace that made those who had been of no account suddenly realize that their life mattered. They were not there by chance or by accident, but because God had intended for them to be there. Their lives, that all lives, have eminent value. Those who had been lonely found a friend in Christ. Perpetual losers in life were made to feel as if society valued them. People who were invisible, I think we know who those people are. The people that we pay no attention to as we go through our lives came to realize that somebody really did care for them, did notice them, even wanted to say their names out loud and call them to himself. Names like Levi, Mary, Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus. The person and life of Jesus is the shepherd king that Ezekiel saw in his oracle from God. But he is more than a shepherd king. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, the Great I Am, the absolute sovereign king of the cosmos. He reigns and he rules, and his kingdom knows no bounds and will one day end and be all in all. It will be a kingdom unlike any we have ever known. It won't have a single lost sheep within it. It won't have a single invisible or marginalized person within it. It won't have any lonely people, any hurting people, any hungry people, any broken people, any sick people. It will not have any people who wonder if their lives matter or if their life has value, because every life will be celebrated and it will be treasured. Christ the King Sunday is placed here for a reason. It's at the end of the church year, and it's cause for us to celebrate the reigning rule of Christ Jesus, but it also points us forward to the next Sunday, which is Advent 1. And Advent simply means to come. And in Advent, it's a four-week season when we are intentional. There's that word again. When we are intentional to remember Jesus' first coming or appearing on earth, when through his act of his life, his death, and his resurrection from the dead, he reconciled us to our Heavenly Father. That sin no longer has a hold on our lives, that yes, while we will die, death cannot hold us. That we will spiritually be with Christ Jesus at the time of our death. But you see, Advent is also a time when we await his second coming, and we don't know when that is. Despite what I'm hearing from people, Christians around the world today, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. But we know that when he does, he will make all things new. And this is our great hope, when there will be no more physical death or dying, no more hunger or brokenness or shame. Only life and life everlasting. There will be a bodily, physical resurrection from the dead. And those who are in Christ Jesus will live in perpetuity for all eternity in the very presence of God, physically, corporally. And we await that day, and we trust in that hope. Ezekiel, in conclusion of this oracle, writes, "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken." Yes, he has. Long live the King. Soli Deo Gloria, to Christ alone, to God alone, to the Holy Spirit alone, be all glory, honor, and praise. Amen.